Welcome, everybody. It's time for another episode of SLMA Radio. And Laura Patterson's back today with Ready, Set, Grow, where she interviews C-level executives from across various industries to discuss how they've organically grown their companies. These tell-all programs will focus on revealing the tools and techniques the guests have used to fuel their above-average growth. From the one woman who seems to know a lot of people with above-average growth, it's Laura Patterson. Hey, Laura, how are you?
Hey, Paul. We are so excited to be with you guys again. Thank you so much. And welcome, everybody, to the Ready, Set, Grow SLMA radio show, where, as Paul said, we gain insights and wisdom from members of the C-suite on how to grow organically and the role they expect marketing to play in the growth and how they will measure marketing's contribution. Thanks for joining us. If you missed our earlier episodes with Steve Ziggy Shanklin, CEO of White Cloud Security, or JT McCormick, CEO of Scribe Media, catch the replays on the Vision Edge Marketing website in the recording section. But today, I'm very excited that we're talking with Dave Sikora, CEO of Alter. And what's really, really exciting is that I've known Dave a long time from when we were both in previous lives, so it's wonderful to reconnect with him in this new role. Dave is a longtime software industry veteran and Austin community member. He previously served as CEO of 2 public and 5 private venture capital-backed software companies, and he's held the board of director position with 4 public companies. So he has an enormous amount of wisdom and insight into running a company and growing them. He executed the first internet software IPO in the state of Texas in 1995. Yes, that's how far back Dave and I go, but who's counting? And collectively, his companies have raised over $100 million in venture capital. He has experience both with exits and value creation events of almost $1 billion. Most recently, before Alter, Dave was CEO of Stratfor, which was a global intelligence and research firm with industry-leading products focused on emerging global physical and cybersecurity threats. And that's an important segue because today Dave is involved with a relatively newer company, which is called Alter. So Alter is a data security company, and notice my reference to the concept of data security far more than just cybersecurity. And the company has invented a way to take data, whether it's in a transactional database or a file system, and do what Dave calls scatter it. And they scatter it to private blockchains. So isn't it really cool that we're talking about what is kind of an emerging and developing technology, blockchains? I'll let Dave tell you more about that. But in the meantime, I'd like to introduce Dave, get us going, and let's talk about growth, particularly growth for Alter. Welcome, Dave.
Well, Laura, thank you very much. It's really a pleasure to be here. And you, the way you set me up, I think wisdom, it's mostly my gray hair.
Yeah. No one can see you.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, as the CEO of Alter, you know, I realize that it's still early days, but it's exciting times.
That's right.
I suspect that organic growth is right at the top of your list.
Well, yeah. I mean, as you know, it's I'd say numero uno, right?
Yes.
And Alter is a unique company in that we've been around for just over 4 years now, but we just came out of stealth just over 30 days ago. And so we have an incredible team of technologists who've been heads down building a great product for the better part of 4 years. And so now I have this awesome opportunity to take this product that this great team has been building, take it to market. And as you well know, because I mean, we've both been in this business, that value creation in our business happens as a function of the top line. That's it. And it seems that over time, company enterprise value creation ultimately revolves around earnings and, you know, EBITDA. But in the early days, it's really all about revenue growth. And we're not out. I don't really have a public currency to go make an acquisition. It's all organic. I have to take what we have, which is quite substantial in terms of technical raw materials, and find ways to get that out into the market. And it's where we are all aligned here around organic growth. That's our story.
And I'm so glad that you came out of stealth in time to do this radio program with
just
me.
Just in time. We were thinking about that. Yeah.
So one of the things we're talking about revenue, and I want to get back to that, but there's no revenue without customers.
That's right.
So I think right now, you know, that's the way that we're thinking, is not just revenue, right? But to help people with understand the value proposition around organic growth is really around, in this case, net new customer acquisition.
It is. And, you know, at some level, you have to assume you've worked on product market fit. I mean, that's a big concept here, is making sure that the investments you're making in R&D manifest themselves in a positive way in the market, and that you're building stuff that people actually want to buy, right? And so, but in the early days, you don't necessarily know all that. It's a little cloudy. It's like, you know, being in a dark room and looking for the light switch. You know,
kind
you want to find that light switch. And so the way to find that light switch is you've got to get out there, press the flesh with potential prospects and customers. You have to listen. You can't just go out and tell your story. You have to really open your ears and find, you know, try and find some common denominators. What are people saying? What are their challenges? What are their problems? And so that first year of coming out is a pretty important year, and getting on the ground with key identified areas and targets that you have, you know, getting in market.
And you and I were talking earlier, this is the whole reason why marketing needs to be thinking about the upstream, particularly at this stage in development.
Absolutely. And so we did, that's right, we were talking about upstream and downstream. And I have this expression that if upstream is polluted, then downstream, or if your upstream is bad, then downstream will be polluted in kind of the demand gen and tactical marketing. And so you really have to get that product market fit right, and that gives you the raw materials then to go create really strong marketing communications programs, getting your message out, et cetera. But you can't really do that until you've really nailed it with customers and with the market.
Exactly. So before we spend more time talking about marketing, I know one of the things, having known you and worked with you in the past, that's important to you is culture.
Yes.
And this is the team right now is humming right along, and it's still a relatively small team.
That's right.
Right? It's under 100 people, right?
That's right, yeah.
And so tell me a little bit, and our audience a little bit, about the role you think culture plays in organic growth at this stage.
Yeah, at this, and so it's a great question, and I'm a very big believer in culture. I think that one of the ways that we've looked at it here, and I've learned over the years that at this phase, I would say that we're in a 0-to-1 phase. And a 0-to-1 phase presents a lot of ambiguity. You don't necessarily have customers. You have some market feedback. You have great technology, but you need a team during that 0-to-1 phase that can deal with those obstacles, can deal with those challenges. And then once you get past that 0-to-1 phase and go to 1-to-2, those are different people. Scaling a business, taking something from 0-to-1 is very different from going from 1-to-2. And so the team that we have on the ground right now is, in my opinion, a world-class 0-to-1 team. That's not to say that the 0-to-1s can't straddle into a 1-to-2 or even personally have the skill set to get to a 1-to-2, but taking that first hill requires a certain type of individual, and it requires a certain type of chemistry from a culture standpoint.
So if I were to ask you three characteristics of a growth culture in the 0-to-1 phase.
Do I only get three?
You only get three. No. What three would you say are the most important?
I would say that number one, you have to be transparent, because you have to let people know what's happening all the time. Because you're dealing with daily, weekly, highly engaged interactions with the market. You have to provide a lot of feedback. So you have to be transparent. The next is, I think that you have to be open to debate, and you have to accept criticism, and I suppose you could say that's part of transparency, but that that idea of bringing new things, you're bringing something new that's never been brought to market, and you're going to get punched in the face And you have to deal with that openly. The team has to deal with that openly. And then I think the third is you have to be incredibly tenacious. And the culture has to embrace that. You really have to get out and push.
Oh, that's one of my favorite words, tenacity. I can totally relate to that.
Yes.
And I know you know I can.
Absolutely.
So we're going to jump into talking about marketing. I know we'll have to take a break in a moment, so we'll come back if we don't finish. But let's talk about the role you think marketing plays in driving organic growth and how well you think marketing as a discipline does that today.
Sure. So what I would say, and this gets back to what we were talking about earlier, that let's separate from the upstream from the downstream, right? And especially at this stage, we're living in an upstream world. I mean, we have to have downstream activities because we have to create demand, we have to create leads, and we have to create interest for our message and for our solution. But I think that initially here, the role of marketing has a lot to do with product market fit and getting out, talking with customers, talking with prospects, and talking with analysts as well. What are the, you know, figuring out what the problems are that folks have and how does that map to your offering and ultimately into your messaging? So I would say really focus now on upstream.
And how well do you think the marketing discipline as a discipline today, not here at Alter, but in general, you've been around a long time, does at upstream marketing?
I think in general it does well, but I would say it's a really interesting question because like here we are in Austin, and Austin is well known for being a software center, mostly enterprise software, not consumer software. And so I think that you can look at this as a geographic issue that we have a really strong upstream product management and product marketing culture in Austin, but we don't. If I tried to do the same thing in Houston or even in Dallas, I would not find that culture exists. So we're lucky where we are, and I think you'll find that in other pockets. Boston, Silicon Valley, you'll find that culture and that talent to be there. But for building, getting the 0-1, building great new software products, we're in a good spot.
Awesome. Well, I think we need to take a break, and we'll come back in just a moment and pick up the conversation.
All right. Is that going?
And we just wanted to remind everybody that Vision Edge Marketing is there for you. They work with chief executive, financial marketing, growth strategy, and customer insight officers in a variety of industries, manufacturing, technology, financial services, even medical devices like those here in Orange County. And they particularly specialize with companies facing growth or performance challenges. Customers rely on VisionEd Marketing's expertise to make more effective and faster fact-based decisions regarding customers, markets, products, and the competition. They can also help you improve and prove the value of marketing and leverage data analytics, processes, and measurement to increase marketing's relevance and ability to deliver greater business impact. It's a big promise, but they deliver. Go find out more at their website, visionedgemarketing.com. That's visionedgemarketing.com. Back to Laura and her guest as she's ready to launch into more growth strategies here.
Thank you. So we're back here with Dave Sikora, CEO of Alter. And we're talking about marketing. And before we move on to some other parts of the conversation, I want to wrap up the marketing part, particularly talking about measurement. Again, you and I go back a long way,
right.
And I know you're a strong believer in accountability for all aspects of the business, including marketing. But here you are in this business, and we already kind of alluded to one potential metric. But as you're looking at measuring the success of the business and measuring the contribution that marketing is going to make, what are some of the key ways that you expect marketing to measure its value? I know you said net new customers.
Right. And again, I do think in terms of the marketing spectrum, you know, starting with product management through product marketing and then marketing communications, which really includes lead generation, et cetera, and branding. And so each one of those areas has their own kinds of accountability metrics. And so for us, you know, given where we are, it's not really about how many leads we're generating. It's certainly going to be about customer growth and number of customers for us. But we're really focused on getting to market here in the next 9 to 12 months with a small, when I say small, I mean 40 to 50 enterprise-oriented customers. And so we're gonna measure our success based on how many pilots we can start, how many of those pilots will convert into, you know, production license agreements. When we sign partners, how many customers can we get in front of through some of those partners to get leverage in our marketing capabilities? I think once we establish a core foundation or presence in the market, then I think the back half, we're going to start doing a lot more downstream marketing capabilities, you know, promoting the successes that we've had with certain customers. And then we can focus a lot more on things like lead generation, lead conversion rates, et cetera. But this first phase is really foundational. And so building our early pilot customer base is really our number one objective.
And I'm assuming from those pilots, not only converting, but being really good referrals.
You hit it right on the head. Absolutely.
Because in this business, that's going to be important.
The voice of the customer is 100 times louder than the voice of the vendor.
Well, for sure. But in this business, I would also suspect, because of how technical it is, and it's not only going to be how well the product works, although that's going to be extremely important,
right,
but the overall experience they have going through. This is a very new technology.
That's right, and that is another consideration in that the technology that we have is so transformative and it's so unique, so I would say next generation, that it's a challenge for us to communicate that what we have can take our customers to an entirely new level of data security that they didn't know even existed. So we have to be able to tell the market that we're here, that this opportunity, this next generation exists. And so that is part of our challenge.
So I think education, back to marketing and the role there, there's a lot of education that needs to happen. So just one more time, try to articulate to our listeners what Alter is doing and why it is so transformational before you tell us about how you got here.
Right. So what we do, and Lori, you said it pretty well up front about how we can take data from enterprise database systems, transactional databases, or from file systems. And what we can do is we can actually break it apart. In some areas, that's called rate striping. We can break it apart and store it on distributed nodes of a blockchain network or series of networks, and then we can reassemble that data with very low latency when the application or when the user needs that data. And so what that means is imagine a house, and the cybersecurity industrial complex has basically been built around moats, which protect, you know, think of the physical analogy, a moat protecting a home or a castle. What we have is the equivalent. We've assumed the moats will be breached. And what we have is the equivalent when the bad guy breaches the moat and gets in the house, there's nothing in the house for the bad guy to use, but the house is still operational. And that's really profound. And so that's the net, that's, you know, just a real life example of what we can do.
No, it's pretty exciting. I was trying to explain it to Mark, my husband,
okay,
a little bit. And I got a little way out there talking about like being in another dimension. The stuff's there, you just can't see it, and it's not where you can normally get it. But when you need it, it comes together.
It comes together. That's exactly right. You've got that. But I'll tell you, the really cool thing
it's
about
it's like a video
it,
of that.
Yeah, right. The what's amazing is, you know, I was around, and we talked about this earlier, just given our respective experience in the business, but I was around when the internet came out in 95, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember.
You may not have been. Yeah. And And so, but compared to blockchain, the internet was really one-dimensional, because in order for blockchain to succeed at scale, we need three things. We need phenomenal processing capacity, we need really large data pipes, and we need really inexpensive storage. And so you need the first two for consensus algorithms, and you need the third one because you're replicating lots of data. And the stuff that we do now couldn't be done 3 years ago, right, which is amazing. Seen that, and that's why it's so exciting when you think about the opportunities with blockchain in general, because of those preconditions accelerating in place right now. It's really, really quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely speed here. We have a speeding train. And speaking of speed, I know we only have a few minutes left. And so before we close, Dave, and thank you again for joining us today, but before we close, a couple of two things on the personal front for you.
Oh, boy.
Yes. We have a lot of people in the audience, some of whom are already, you know, in the C-suite, and others who hopefully will be making their journey there. So two quick things, a little bit about your path to CEO, and I know you've been a CEO for a very long time in various capacities. So if you could kind of go back quickly into memory lane and think about that path. And then lastly, you know, any insights or lessons learned or pearls of wisdom you would offer to someone on that journey?
Okay. So yeah, it has been quite a journey. I consider myself blessed. This is really my eighth CEO job, having been two public CEO roles and other privates. And I guess in my first CEO role, I just kind of stumbled into. I won't go into that whole backstory because it would take another show to do. But you know, when I look at what I do, it's funny because you bring a marketing orientation here, and I always thought, well, I don't think I'd be a very good VP of marketing. I wouldn't be a good VP of sales. I wouldn't be a good CFO. I wouldn't be a good head of HR. And I think, well, then how could I possibly, you know, be a good CEO? I guess I stay at it, and I know enough about all of those areas to really be dangerous. I think, I guess maybe that's one way to look at it. But
well, I've always thought you were very good at asking thoughtful questions.
Intellectual curiosity has always been one of the I would be reprimanded growing up. What, could you just stop asking questions? You know, you're a pain. Stop that.
And I remember that you are very good at asking questions.
And so, but I guess I would just say that a couple things. One, my path here, I consider myself really fortunate to have this opportunity, because this company, this technology, represents one of the most transformative things that I've ever had the chance to see. And I see hundreds of deals around Austin in the community. And so I feel like a lot of things I've done in my past have come together to take advantage of this opportunity. The last thing I would leave you with, just in terms of if there's a pearl of wisdom in here, is that I would just say, don't get too drunk when things are going well, and don't get too down when things aren't, because neither one of those are true.
That's right.
And so you got to stay in the middle.
That's a really good pearl of wisdom. And thank you again for being with us today. And I believe we need to wrap it up. And with that, I'd like to say thanks to everyone and turn it back to Paul.
Thank you.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio with Ready, Set, Grow this week, right here on the ever-growing Funnel Radio Network, for at-work listeners like you.